is Mingwei Yuan, and today I'm going to talk about adoption of the MAIZAN model for nitrogen management in sweet corn. So sweet corn is one of the most important vegetable crops in Wisconsin. According to USDA NASS in 2014, Wisconsin remained its third place for processing sweet corn. Meantime, sweet corn also demand high nitrogen fertilizer uses. The typical nitrogen rate ranged from 80 to 230 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, which makes it a potential source for groundwater nitrogen contamination, especially in central Wisconsin. So central Wisconsin is a sandy glacial outwash plain characterized by deep, coarse textured soil with really low organic matter content and a shallow groundwater table. So this region is highly susceptible to nitrogen leaching. And according to a statewide survey, this map shows the percentage of groundwater samples in each township above the US EPA set 10 milligram per liter standard. And as we can see in central Wisconsin here, more than 25% of the wells exceed this standard, which again indicate the severe nitrogen leaching situation in this region. So in this project, we aimed to use a dynamic model method to synchronize crop nitrogen demand with the soil nitrogen availability and to reduce the nitrogen leaching in this region and maintain high crop yield. So the next question is, why a MAIZAN model? So a MAIZAN model is a simple mechanistic process-based model. So compared with other more complex models, here are two distinguished differences. First of all, a MAIZAN model uses the radiation use efficiency approach to predict the dry matter prediction. So instead of using like detailed prediction of photosynthesis and respiration, so it largely reduced the amount of input coefficients as well as assumptions. And the other difference is a MAIZAN model uses a leaf nitrogen mechanism to quantify crop nitrogen demand instead of critical nitrogen mechanism. So the leaf nitrogen mechanism assumes that there are four different nitrogen pools: the structural nitrogen pool, active nitrogen for photosynthesis, labile nitrogen pool for storage, and nitrogen in grains. And within each pool, we define a minimum and maximum nitrogen concentration. And finally, the crop nitrogen demand was quantified based on different crop stages. So the objective for this project is, first of all, we want to calibrate the MAIZAN model for sweet corn growth, yield, and nitrogen deficiency effects using the two-year field experiments. And secondly, we'll validate the model simulation of groundwater nitrogen loading using the lysimeter experiment measurements. And finally, we want to propose and define a methodology for adaptive and management strategy and apply the model to evaluate the potential of it in this cropping system under weather uncertainty. So in 2014 and 15, we conducted a two-year field experiment at Hancock Agriculture Research Station. So in both years, we have four high nitrogen rain treatments. And in 2015, we added four low nitrogen rate treatments to quantify the nitrogen deficiency effects. So in T0 and to T6, the nitrogen source is urea. And in T7, we used a type of control release fertilizer, ESN. And during the growing season, we take measurements for critical crop parameters every 7 to 10 days for model calibration and testing. And in both years, we conducted a two-year lysimeter experiment under the high nitrogen rate treatments. So 12 2-meter long by 0.8 meter deep by 0.8 meter wide soil peats were excavated for the lysimeter facility. So the impermeable PVC geomembrane were lined at the soil peat, and the porous tube lysimeter were located at the bottom of the peat at a degree of 10. And then the lysimeter were trapped and directed the leachate into the sample collection container. And the soil solution were collected every 3 to 10 days for leachate and analysis. Then the measured N loading was calculated by multiplying the measured N concentration by the estimated drainage volume from the water balance module of the model. So here's the picture of the lysimeter installation, and this is how the lysimeter looked after installation. And then we proposed and defined the method of depth and measurement. So the first step is that with all daily weather or and other management information, the calibrated simulation model would predict the daily maximum crop nitrogen demand and the daily plant available nitrogen in the soil. And secondly, on a daily basis, we compare the maximum crop nitrogen demand with the plant available nitrogen in the soil. So whenever the maximum crop nitrogen demand exceeds the PAN in the soil, which is a signal for nitrogen deficiency, we will add additional nitrogen fertilizers. So finally, for the nitrogen rate, we define that during the critical nitrogen period, which is also the vegetative stages, we'll add 20 to 30 kilogram per hectare of nitrogen fertilizer through verdigation in a day. And after that, we'll apply 5 to 10 kilogram per hectare of nitrogen fertilizer through verdigation. Then use the calibrated model. We try to simulate the 30-year crop yield and nitrogen loading using the 30-year historical data, weather data at HARS with three types of nitrogen management strategies. The first type is SC1 to SC4. That's a conventional nitrogen management strategy using split application of urea. The second type is SCCRF. That's a control release fertilizer method. And the third type, the adaptive N management strategy as defined before. Then with the 30-year simulation of crop yield and nitrogen loading, we will determine the probability distribution functions of both crop yield and seasonal N loading. So for the results, first, for the calibration of crop growth and yield, we compare the prediction and measurements of several critical crop parameters, like LAI, above ground biomass, yield, and cumulative nitrogen uptake. And we find that the model could accurately predict crop growth, development, and yield across years and different nitrogen levels with high R-screen and low RMSE. Secondly, for the validation of seasonal N loading, this is an illustration from treatment 4 in 2014 and 2015. The bars indicate the daily nitrogen loading, which actually were in accordance with the rain patterns. The solid and dashed line were the simulated and measured cumulative N loading, which have a good good agreement in both years. Then we we try to assess the simulation and measurement across the four treatments in both years. So we assess the model performance by comparing the simulation and measurement using the parameter relative absolute error, RAE, which is calculated by dividing the difference between simulation and measurement over the average. So the RAE were reported ranged from 2 to 20%, which indicate that the model could accurately predict the seasonal N loading with an acceptable level of predictive accuracy. Finally, in order to assess among three different types of nitrogen management strategies, first, let's look at the simulation of crop and soil nitrogen dynamics in 2015 as an example. So in both plots, the red dashed lines indicate the maximum crop nitrogen uptake across the growing season. And in the upper plot, it's a little bit busy here, but the solid lines actually mean the plant available nitrogen in the soil from the conventional nitrogen management strategies, SC1 to SC4, and the control release the fertilizer. So let's look at the red solid line first. That's a plant available nitrogen curve from the SC1, the lowest nitrogen rate treatment. And as we can see, between DAP of 32 to 36 and after DAP of 52, the PAN curve actually fell below the maximum crop nitrogen uptake, indicating nitrogen deficiency, which would preclude the optimum growth of the yield of the crop. But for all other treatments, the pan curves actually stay above the maximum crop nitrogen uptake, which indicates sufficient nitrogen for the optimum growth of a crop, but also a really high potential for nitrogen loading across the growing season. But then let's look at the adaptive ant management strategy. Again, the solid line with the pan curve in the soil. As we can see, like during the entire growing season, the pan curve was slightly above the maximum crop nitrogen uptake, which means there's sufficient nitrogen for optimum crop growth, but also the potential for nitrogen loading was greatly reduced compared with other treatments. Then with the 30-year simulation of crop yield and nitrogen loading, we determine the probability distribution functions. And in the table, the mean of the probability distribution function we reported for the dry yield and nitrogen loading. And we can see like in the SC4, the highest nitrogen treatment from the conventional strategy, both the yield and nitrogen loading were highest. And for SC1, the lowest nitrogen rate treatment, both the yield and unloading were lowest. And the control relief fertilizer strategy is somewhat an intermediate. But for the adaptive ant management strategy, the ant rates ranged from 105 to 140. But the yield was among the highest, and also the loading was among the lowest. So generally speaking, adaptive ant management strategy can maintain high crop yield, but it also reduced nitrogen leaching by 24 to 45% and reduced the nitrogen input by 7 to 48% compared with other management strategies. Then the scatter plot provides another angle to evaluate among different nitrogen management strategies. So the horizontal dashed line were the medians of the 30-year of the median is the median of the 30-year ant loading, and the vertical line was the median of the 30-year dry yield, and the two lines actually segmented the entire treatment years plot into four yield and leaching response scenarios. For example, the upper left, that's a low yield and high leaching scenario, which is the worst case, and the bottom right section, that's a high yield and low leaching scenario, which is the best scenario. So as we can see, like for the adaptive ant management strategy indicated by the red dots, the majority of them are clustered in the high yield and low leaching scenario. But for the highest nitrogen rate treatment, SC4, the majority of them clustered in the high yield and high leaching scenario. And for SC1, the lowest nitrogen rate treatment, the majority, 70% of them, cluster located in the low yield and high leaching scenario. So again, it proved that the adaptive ant management has the capacity to maintain high crop yield while reduce the low nitrogen leaching under weather uncertainty. So to conclude today's talk, we found that a maize ant model could accurately predict sweet corn yield and nitrogen leaching on irrigated sandy soil, and the probabilistic distribution of simulated crop yield and seasonal ant loading using the 30-year historical weather data proved that there's a significant reduction on nitrogen leaching and nitrogen input with the adaptive ant management strategy compared with other two. But future field experiments were still needed to evaluate the feasibility and flexibility of this strategy. So that's it. Thank you. Most significant what? I'm sorry. Most significant. I'm sorry. So your question is most significant. What factor most significant? What? Actually, I didn't do that. Yes, from the lysimeter experiments. We collect the soil solution from the lysimeter. We yes, in the soil peat. 2 meter long by 0.8 meter deep and wide. No, it's buried by the soil, but like we put the tube lysimeter at the bottom of the soil peat, and then we can collect the leachate from this area, from this soil peat. Yes, and also the concentration.